Welcome to episode number 8 of Marooned, a Texas Tiki podcast. This episode's been a long time coming. Back in June, before I even started the podcast, Jay Brooks of Aloha Texas Tiki Company reached out to see if the Fantomatics would be interested in playing this year's Bamboo on the Bayou. We weren't able to make last year's, so we're definitely on board for this year's. Here we are 5 months later and just about 3 weeks away from this shindig. Naturally, with the event right around the corner, I wanted to talk with Jay and get the inside scoop on Bamboo on the Bayou. The Boozy Doodler, being the phenomenal person and friend that he is, he offered up the Taboozy Lay as the venue for this episode. We had a blast talking about tiki carving, velvet paintings, Jay's exotic band Clouseau, and much more. This episode is sponsored by Bamboo on the Bayou, starting Sunday, November 5th, ending with the Bamboo Bash on November 11th at Mid-Main in Houston, Texas. We look forward to seeing y'all out there and hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Marooned, a Texas Tiki podcast.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. But he's not going to use it. You are not going to use that.
I'm using my, if Jason said something racy, but yeah. He hasn't yet, so feel let down.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. It's pretty funny, though.
Yeah, indeed.
It's an interesting, trick. See, your masks look great right there, right?
They do.
Yeah.
I'm digging them.
I only pretend like we're
sorry, it took so
someplace
long to
else.
To you.
I don't care.
You know, the left hand.
Yeah.
You know how the left hand works.
It's steeper. It's the one you sit on, yeah. Right? What do they call it? The stranger?
Yep. Feels like it's somebody else.
Fantomaticus Maximus in the flesh.
What's up, man?
I don't know. It's so good to, you know.
Good to hang.
Be here and talk to you in person. I've been listening to all your podcasts. I'm really enjoying them.
Oh, thank you.
I dig what you're doing.
Appreciate it. Glad somebody is.
I appreciate what you're doing.
Well, cool. Well, yeah. Whenever you guys are ready, we're all ready to go.
Let's do it.
I was going to be hanging in the back.
Maybe we didn't set up three mics for you to just...
Oh, I will. I'll just sit outside.
No, you're going to come sit over here.
Maybe I'll maybe make myself another drink. And do it. Oh.
Here's some, here's and that is the sound of Jay's balls. Not as dusty sounding as I would have thought.
Whoa, you said he was only 38.
Bigger than you would have thought, though, right? Running into the mic and whatnot.
Yeah. We got to put it a little bit closer.
I think I'll make another cocktail.
So what's happening?
Not a whole lot, man. How you doing?
Doing good.
Good.
I drove 3 hours with no air conditioning.
Oh, that...
To be with you.
No AC?
No AC, man.
Get the fuck out of
here. Yeah.
That's horrible.
It's intermittent. It comes on just enough to tease you, and then it'll just go out a little bit.
How long has that been going on for?
I don't know. 6 months.
Long enough to be irritating?
Yes, 6 months. Very irritating.
You want to fix it through the winter? I mean, the summer? Then you're like, hey, winter's coming.
I don't drive that much, you know.
Really?
Yeah. I go to work. Work's 10 minutes. I get to work at 6 in the morning. It's not even hot out yet.
Right. And it's 10 minutes. You say it's not bad.
Yeah. What sucks is coming home. 15 minutes of sweating.
That's why I tell me I sweat all the way home too, because I'm just afraid Casey's gonna yell at me when I get home. Just kidding.
When doesn't she yell at you though?
Oof. I know, that's why I say, when doesn't she yell at me?
Shut up!
Where you get backhanded. Well, thank you for driving down, Jay. Super cool of you.
Yeah, I am so excited, not only to talk to you and be on your podcast, but to see this magnificence.
Oh, yes.
To bask in the glory of Taboozy Lay.
We are here in the Taboozy Lay. The Boozy Doodler was kind enough to give us a meeting spot to come convene in the Taboozy Lay to record this episode for Bamboo on the Bayou with Jay Brooks of Aloha Texas Tiki Company, sponsor of the podcast.
Indeed. like I was telling Jason earlier, man, I've been wanting to come here for so long, since day one when I was checking out his stuff on Instagram, and I realized this guy's from Texas. What? You know, and
that's kind of what I said.
Struck up a little amistad, a little friendship, and then I started seeing pictures of the place, and man, I got to make it out there. It's just I'm so busy; it's hard to get out here, you know.
Yeah.
So, but here I am.
Yes, you're finally joining us.
Winning. So, yeah. So, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. I was just about to ask you the same thing. How's the carving going? What do we expect for bamboo? You know, fill us in.
Carving is going very slow. Just don't have time, so I'm trying to do what I can. So I'm, you know, I'm averaging like a piece a week now, which is, you know, in other times I could, you know, quadruple that and whatnot, but I'm, you know, it's good. I'm at peace with it. It's going to be, the quantity is not going to be where I want it to be, but, it is what it is, you know, you do what you can and that's all you can do. So, I'm trying some new things and trying some framed pieces that, I haven't done before. And so I'm learning how to put the frames together and whatnot. So I'm stoked about that.
Nice. You gonna have any of those ready for the show?
I've got two ready right now. One's a little smaller Moai piece, and another one's kind of like just a really basic. It doesn't even have a style per se. It's just, you know, tiki. I'm digging them though. Hopefully I can crank out some more of those and have a nice selection by the time the 11th gets here. But I'm very excited, man. We're gearing up.
I'm stoked.
We're doing what we can. We just added another band. I don't know if you saw.
I saw that. Phantom Royals.
Yeah, so I reached out to them from the get-go, but didn't work out. They had another engagement, which since has been canceled. And I think I talked to Robin the other day, and she said, yeah, Phantom Royals, man, we got them. And I said, what? I thought they weren't going to do it, you know, but
yeah.
It turns out that they're going to be in the mix, so that's pretty cool. And you guys, are you guys ready?
Yeah, I mean, as ready as we can be.
Yeah?
Yeah. After 10 years of doing this, I think we'll be all right. Even though we haven't practiced and I don't know how long. We'll probably have maybe two before the show, but you know what? We'll wing it and we'll be all right.
So you started it, right? That was your, like, your baby?
Yeah, starting the band, yes. That was listening to the Ghastly Ones. Glad I didn't wear my shirt today.
I called you. I told you to wear it.
Yeah, I got super into them and thought it was a super awesome concept to do spooky surf. And so, yeah, almost 10 years later, here we are.
Spooky is good. Yeah. I love darkness.
Yeah.
Like, so with...
Well, and that, like, I'm really excited, and there's a few songs I'm like, if this had been closer to Halloween, we would be doing just, like... Well, if it was closer to Halloween, we'd pretty much just be doing a Ghastly Ones tribute, but that's all right. But we'll still play some... We'll play our originals, and maybe we'll throw a Ghastly Ones song in there.
Nice. Can't wait to check it out.
Yeah, it's gonna be a blast, so... How did you come up with the idea for the event, or what prompted this? Just a lack of anything like that?
Well, you know, without going too far back, you know, it's like, just to, I guess, keep a long story short.
Keep it long.
Keep it long. We got time to fill. Well, Clouseau, you know, music was my thing for a long time.
Yes,
you
know, I can't believe I forgot about that. Theme for our podcast as well.
So, Clouseau, you know, I got tired of playing punk rock. I was in a band called Middle Finger back in the day, and we played punk, and I did that for about 10 years, and I just got tired of playing fast as we could. And so I went to a friend's wedding, and they were playing Esquivel, and I said, what is that? It's like, it just sounded like magic to me, and it just opened up a whole world of, like, you know. And then I got turned on to Combustible Edison, but anyway, went to I formed Clouseau, and I met Alice Berry. She said, man, you got to go play Tiki Oasis. And then she got in the band. And then, so we went out and played Tiki Oasis and saw the Carvers, met Otto, saw Crazy Al, met Shag, and just took in the whole, you know, ball of wax and came home and then started carving and whatnot. So anyway, my love for tiki was born. So that was like 2000. So 2000 to 2016, nothing's happening in Texas. You know, you got Tiki Oasis, you know, yeah, on the West Coast, and you got Hukilau on the East Coast, and I, you know, you got Luau on the Lake and some other things, but nothing's in Texas, right? So you're always thinking, man, how cool would it be to have something here, you know? But who's gonna do it?
Yeah,
you know. So
exactly,
who's gonna like?
Who's gonna step up?
Exactly, who's gonna like sacrifice? Who's gonna go to the altar of tiki sacrifice?
Yep.
And
I've always said that you got the West Coast covered, you got the East Coast covered. There's nothing central. There's nothing in the middle of the country.
Exactly. So
we've been marooned.
True. Great name, by the way. Love it. Very fitting. So anyway, you know, it's back here the whole time. How cool would it be to have a bash in Galveston or something, mm-hmm, you know, or, you know, something like that. But, you know, I'm busy with my family, my job and everything. And then, Robin and Thomas, basically it was Robin. She said, hey, let's put an event together. And then when she said that, I said, I'm in, dude. I'm in. So it was kind of her that really, I guess, flicked the switch.
Yeah.
And so we had a meeting with all the people that we could imagine that would be interested in it in Houston. And there was about 15, 20 people at Double Trouble. And it got crazy because everybody had different ideas. And then after that, I said, look, we got to kind of strip it down, because if you have all of these people, it's going to be really hard to get anything done and take action. So we kind of just stripped it down to a couple people, and we did our best, you know, to do it last year. And, you know, it wasn't near what I wanted it to be, but we had a great time, and
we had
lots of bands, and we had some great vendors, and I had a great time. So this year, I think it's picking up traction, and more people seem to be interested in it, and we've added some vendors, and now you guys can come.
Yeah, I know. This year, we wanted to do it last year, just didn't work out. We were in between bass players. Now our original bass player is back playing with us, so all the stars aligned. So,
nice.
Yeah,
I'm so excited you guys are coming.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be part. Well, I mean, we came out last year, and I was super bummed because it was such a good time. I'm like, I want to be playing. Like, I want us to be playing here. So I'm super stoked for it, and it's going to be a blast. Jason's going to be vending. Got Rat Rods.
Yes.
Vending. Who else is going to be vending out there?
Monica Holbert's going to be there with her cookies and rad stickers. She's pretty amazing.
She did these super cool Texas Tiki File stickers.
Yes.
A bunch of those.
She'll be there. Big T, Roy Main. Texas OG. He'll be there. Who else we have? John Snyder, Tiki Madness.
Okay.
That guy's wicked talented, man. He made these like just out of control jellyfish. Like it looked like one piece of wood that he carved a frame out of this one piece of wood, and then this just amazing jellyfish. And he's got like a pair of them. And he also did this nutty seahorse. But the guy's out of control, so I think he'll be there. We just added Blue Rooster Customs. So
I saw that, yeah.
You know that guy?
Yeah, I've run into him at a couple of events that I've done with Rat Rods. And he did some, I guess, like t-shirt stands for Frank with Rat Rods. So yeah, he does cool stuff.
Dude, his work is like, it's out there, man.
Yeah, he's definitely different.
It's just so bizarre, but it's so cool, you know? And it's just like, he just doesn't care, you know? And if you can find art that, you know, that kind of expresses that whole sentiment, I find a lot of respect for that.
Yeah. So how did
Hence this guy right here. Come over here and talk, man.
Oh, boy.
Get over here.
It's not a show without you.
Yeah, sure.
Everybody keeps emailing me, asking me, when are we going to get more of that drunk dude?
Yeah.
So. But so how did you decide on doing a crawl?
Oh, that's Robin's idea, man. So like Robin Berwick, she is I think she, I don't know all the details and the story, but I met her. She was my guitarist's girlfriend back in when we were playing punk rock, and she'd come to the shows, and so I kind of knew her through that vein, and then we lost touch for a long time, and then I saw on social media and stuff that she was bartending at Poison Girl, and she just got into the bartending scene, and she's like really, I don't know, she's super talented and smart, you know, with regards to mixology and event organization. So, what was the question?
What prompted the crawl?
Oh,
what,
yeah.
How did you decide that instead of just doing one?
Yeah.
Drink's not that strong, man. There's only an ounce in there. No, so instead of doing like just, you know, the 11th or that night, so what, I mean, who's that?
Yeah, so, you know, we wanted to have, when we're talking about forming Bamboo on the Bayou, we wanted to have, you know, an event kind of like Tiki Oasis, but we also wanted to have something like they had in Austin, you know, like mm-hmm. the week-long tiki, different nights and things that you could go to and whatnot. So it was kind of a riff on that. And so she's like completely plugged into the whole scene, mm-hmm. the bar scene down there. So that was her baby, and she kind of planned and created that whole thing. So yeah, so last year we had, I want to say like 14 bars. I might be wrong. So
it was something nuts.
14, 15, maybe 20. I don't know how many we had. But anyway, so it's a drink every night, a different drink every night from Monday to Friday. And each bar does their take on it. And we're going to be having contests where if you go to the bar, take a picture of your drink, tag the bar, and we're going to be offering different prizes and whatnot for, you know, the best pictures and the people that visit the most bars and whatnot. But it's all going to be up on the site soon. We're, you know, working feverishly to try to get all the details down. So just check the bambooonthebayou.com for all the details on that. But yeah.
Awesome. Well, it's going to be a blast. And, it's a shame Clouseau is not playing. So how did I mean, I know you said you heard the music, but when did that start? When did you start the band?
Clouseau. Like 98, I got tired of like playing rock and roll, and I wanted to, and I had my old dad's, well, I told you kind of hearing Esquivel and whatnot, and then I got really into Combustible Edison, and I said, man, I want to do something like that, you know? So I started going through my record collection, which my dad had, you know, given me, and a bunch of Martin Denny stuff.
Nice.
So, you know, I started to try to write music. I got the guy from my, David, from my punk rock band, and said, hey, let's do this. Let's do some mellow, dark, you know, exotica stuff, and he fit right in. So he played keyboards, and this is about 1998, 1999, and we started trying to get things together, and we got some members from another band called The Suspects for Thomas, the singer. He sang for Suspects. He said, hey, let's get some of the horns, and I didn't really want horns, but with Esquivel, they had a bunch of, you know, orchestration and horns, so yeah, so about 2000, we started gigging.
Nice.
Yeah, so it took a while to gel, man. We practiced for about a year. I was trying to, like, you know, we weren't making a lot of money, so it's not like you can, I just don't like being a dictator, you know?
Yeah.
So I want everybody to have a part in creating the music, mm-hmm. so it was hard to, like, get everybody dialed into Exotica.
Yeah.
Because, like, they wanted to do, like, drum and bass and, you know, all this other stuff, and, like, the practice sessions would go nuts, and it's like, man, I just, you know, I let it go in different directions so everybody would be happy. But finally, we kind of, the first record was kind of just loungy with a couple Exotica tracks, but the second record I felt was like really dialed in, and we kind of focused on what my vision of it, it kind of it kind of got to where I wanted it to get. So, and then we happened to meet Lee at Tiki Oasis, and he put that record out, so it kind of solidified our standing in the, I guess, tiki scene or whatever, you know?
That's awesome. But, so, I mean, of course everybody's doing their thing, I'm sure has full-time jobs or is working, but with this resurgence of tiki, how are you guys not, like, getting back going again? Or are you? Any plans?
With regards to Clouseau, I think I'm the one that really is into tiki. The rest of the guys couldn't, they don't really, you know, it's like, they understand it, you know, but they're not into it as much as I am. And, you know, we went and played, we played Tiki Oasis 3 in Palm Springs. It was amazing. Dude, I met the millionaire. All these great things happened. And then we came back and just, we played Houston like mad. And nobody got it. Nobody really understood what we're trying to do. And nobody really cared. And Houston is just really hard to do, hard to make it as a live band that's not playing covers, man.
Yeah.
And,
I find that's most major cities.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if you're wanting to do something different or original, people don't give a shit. If you're going to do the same covers that they could go to any other bar and see, they'll be more responsive to that for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, so, you know, I killed myself running that band from 2000 to 2010, 12, you know, and every cent we made went in back into the band. The musicians didn't take money, and they took a beating, man. You know, it's like they sacrificed a lot of their time and energy for it, so I have so much respect for those guys. But, you know, we went and played Tiki Oasis 15, and we ran into Christy White and there, and she said, "Hey, man, come play Hooky Lau." And so I was very excited to do that, and I approached the guys about it, and they're, some of the guys are just like, you know, I don't know. I think I have something that weekend or whatever. I'm going like,
like, this is Hooky Lau. You can't have something that weekend.
This is the Super Bowl of, yeah, like, what our, you know.
This is what we were made for.
Exactly.
This is what this band was started for.
So, like, considering a lot of circumstances, that was kind of like the straw that said, hey, man, let's take a break for a little bit. And I just, if we're not going to go play Hooky Lau, what are we doing? You know what I mean? It's like, why am I going to keep playing Houston and surrounding areas?
I would have just played to the CD. You should have just taken your bass out there and played along with the CD, one-man band, you know.
But in 2008, we got invited to play Hooky Lau, and we couldn't make it out because we didn't have enough money to fly everybody out there. But we were going to open, we're going to, like, play for Drasnin, that we're going to be his backing band. I talked to the dude on the phone.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Sweetheart, man. The guy was so nice, you know. I was like, I was on the phone, and I was like, I can't believe I'm talking to Robert Drasnin.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
it's fucking crazy.
You know.
Yeah.
Talking about OG, you know, it's like the second best thing to Martin Denny, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Or Baxter, you know. So, but it didn't work out, and that's okay. And Alice went out there, and she was able to sing with them and whatnot. But, dude, so, like, right now, it's like, I'm kind of just taking a break. And it was funny, though, because when we had Bamboo on the last year, it's like, why aren't we playing this? Like,
that's what I was wondering last year.
That's like the most, it just, you know.
But that's what I'm saying. So to be playing Exotica, and then there's this resurgence, like, huge resurgence of tiki right now. Like, you got to strike while the iron's hot. Come on.
True.
Or start selling those records again, start getting out there. I know, so I first listened to you guys because I heard it on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you guys on Spotify, and I'm like, had no idea there was Exotica in Texas, or Texotica. It was super cool that, of course,
you know, Les Baxter's from Texas, right?
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mejia. Dude, Texas.
Yeah. Well, there
I heard
go.
Don
well,
Beach was from Texas,
Don
too.
Beach, yeah.
So right?
It's
right.
Started here. It's born here. But
Texas rising.
Yep, exactly.
Hey, we're going to have a Texas Rising night, Friday night before the Bamboo people. Bash.
So
it's going to be at Howie's.
Okay.
All the artists are coming to Howie's. We're going to have tamales. All
right.
We're going to, you know, meet and greet the artists. It's going to be called Texas Rising. He has a drink called Texas Rising. Okay. And I don't know if you've ever had a, God, what's the name of that drink? Ancient Mariner.
Yes.
It's like a better version of the Ancient Mariner. It's got Hamilton.
That is a bold statement.
I'm serious, man. I was questioning Howie's. The first night I went there, he slid the glass of the Texas Rising over to me. I drank it. I said, okay, this guy's legit, you know.
The one that I really enjoyed at Howie's was the day of the mug release. They were doing a drink called the Thunderstruck.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's still on the menu or if you guys still
make it. Oh, yeah, that's the signature drink there.
That was one of my favorite drinks. It was so good.
Yeah.
It's like coconut.
Yeah, it's like the coconut, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got one called the Slide Away, and he's got the Thunderstruck, and there's one more that has that kind of flavor profile that's really good. It's got the lime, the coconut, the rum, and a little tiny dash of Kahlua. So good. So good, man.
Yeah, that was a good drink. So what is your involvement with Howie's, or how did you get involved with them?
Well, this guy emails me out of nowhere and commissions me to carve a mask for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the address, he PayPals me the money, and Spring, I said, who? There's a guy in Spring, you know? I wonder who that guy is. And then fast forward a couple months, Howie's opens. And then I look at it, and my mask is up there. So he didn't tell me anything about, you know, who he was or whatnot.
He was going up in a bar.
So I went over and I met him and introduced myself to him, and because I was really trying to kick off the carving thing, and I asked him if I could do some work for him. He said, sure, you know, I need a big piece for the, you know, I want to put it out front maybe. And so I was able to carve him that big Marquesan, and I got to know him through doing carvings for him. And then I was like, well, do we not all have the dream of having our own tiki bar?
Some of us aren't as fortunate as others to have that in their own home, though.
Or have the backing to create a commercial one, right?
Yep.
But, you know, I have that dream, and I wanted to, you know, I was talking to my wife, I would love to open up a place, and hey, maybe, you know, I need to get an extra gig because I need to, you know, make a little bit of extra money, and what could I do? What could I do that I like? Because I'm not going to go get a crap job that I'm wanting to slip my wrist.
You aren't going to go work at Target.
No, dude, no. Not at this stage. So, hey, I'll hit up Mark and see if, A, you know, he'll take me under his wing and tell me what he knows and how to, you know, some of the backside of the stuff. And B, what does it feel like to be behind a bar and serve people and deal with all the madness? And what does it feel like to go through a rush? And what is it, you know, what does it feel like? You know, is that really what I want to do? You know, so, man, he was extremely accommodating and warm and receptive and said, sure, man, come on, I'll show you what I know. And so, you know, my first night was like the first anniversary. That's like the craziest night, you know, and so he busted my chops that night, man. But, you know, I worked, you know, from February. I worked about 6 months there, and then it just got a little bit too crazy at my house, so I had to let it go. But, man, I loved it. I loved it. I loved, you know, the mixology of the mixology, learning the mixology and whatnot. And so, yeah, that was kind of, you know, I was just bartending there and trying to learn as much as I could.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it was fun. Had a great time. Mark is super cool, man. He was very accommodating. And, man, the guy's talented. He can make some great tasting drinks, man. I think he really knows what he's doing. He's studied a lot, you know. So I think that's what it takes.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to Texas Rising. Should be a good time.
Like I said,
they will head out there for a bit. We're going to be coming in, I think, Friday night. So.
Yeah, you got to stop by.
Yeah, for sure.
It's going to be fun. And you're coming?
Oh, I'll be there. I'll make sure to, I'll Uber it down there so I won't, you know, see double all the way over there.
That is quite an Uber, sir.
Yeah, it's all right. It's safer that way. You know, I don't have to do that. And plus, I feel more comfortable. I can drink
more. Why do you have to Uber?
Because I don't want to drink and drive.
Oh, I see. I didn't understand.
Yeah. Unless they let me sleep in the parking lot.
You're the boozy driver. Wouldn't be the boozy driver.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't be the first time you slept in a parking lot.
No, it wouldn't be.
Or the last.
No, it might happen again. Yeah.
Depends on how good a time we have at Bamboo.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, that's a, you know. I feel like I'm learning, you know, when I do these events, I try to, you know, keep my drinking at a, you know, at a small, you know what I mean?
A small ratio of
yeah,
normal?
Yeah, well, because the thing is because, you know, by the end of the night, this doesn't mean for people to take advantage of me, but also giving shit away.
You know, oh, like, yeah, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
What do you, oh, I just take it. Oh, you know, giving hugs and, you know.
It's a really cool shirt, man.
Yeah, somebody buys me a drink. I'm like, oh, you're awesome. Here, just take it. And then my old ladies beat me with a rolling pin later on. You know?
Yeah, I totally know what you mean.
But at the same time, yeah, you know, I just like having people have my shit up in their house.
It's
you know
fun
I
mean? To give stuff away, though, you know? I mean...
Well, you're telling me.
You know, do we really do it for the money?
No.
I mean, is that the driving force, you know?
That's,
I mean,
that's definitely not the end all at all.
No, man.
I started like a surf band so I could be a mainstream celebrity and be a PNG. I mean, I don't know what you guys are talking about. That's why I started the Fantomatics.
You know,
the Dana Kardashian.
I do think it is. It's funny. I know you are. It's amazing. I don't know, man.
Dreams come true.
It's just nice to have your stuff in people's houses, you know, or wherever they put it, you know, in the trash. I don't know. But it's, I just think it's definitely a way better feeling than just, you know, sitting around your home, you know, museum of all your shit you won't sell because you think you're, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm going to sell this for $1,000 because this guy does. Screw that. $200, take it.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, people come to my house and they say, where are the tikis? I said, well, everybody else has them.
Yeah, that's the way it
I
should
keep,
be.
Exactly. I don't keep mine, you know? It's like, but eventually I need to carve myself a nice piece, you know, but.
Sure.
You know, I mean, but so you get the rush off of like seeing your stuff in other people's houses.
Well, no,
like,
I like doing it. It's definitely I enjoy
cause
doing
the small right. camera
because I like doing it. You know,
it's like when you're it's done.
You know, when
it's
and like, I had to do it. Some nights, you know, I finished painting at, you know, 1:30, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then I'm like, I walk in here and give myself a celebratory cocktail.
Yes,
2, 3. But then I'll wake back up and I start painting again. Mm-hmm. You know, my lady takes the kids to school. I'm right back at the canvas doing it all over again. You know, I like doing it. And then, you know, if somebody just likes it, it just, you know, like, cool, take it, you know, take it, whatever. You know, it's nice to have other people have it. I like being part of it, you know. And plus, it's, especially when it comes to tiki stuff, you know, I've been into it for a long time. I love tiki stuff. I like, I guess in a sense, it almost like you give back, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? That's why I like the trading part. Like, almost... Everything that, you know, most of the money I've made off my paintings is what I put money into this room.
Dude, when I first made contact with you on Instagram, I was struck most by the fact that, you know, let's trade.
Yeah.
The barter.
Oh, I love it.
The barter thing. It's like, man, that is so cool. You know, it's like, this guy is just down to barter. It's
well,
like,
when you've got that talent,
you know,
and you can afford to do that, why not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I wouldn't have gotten some of the cool shit I got in here if it wasn't for, you know, stealing. I mean, trading. Mm-hmm. No,
starting with the paperclip and working your way up.
But it's a, you know, no, I love bartering. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's how it comes. That's how me and you became friends.
Yeah, I mean,
this
I just
badass tiki. He's like, hey, how much for each painting? Well, it's $100 a paint. Well, how much do you charge for tiki? $100 a foot. Fucking hey, look at this. You know?
Yeah. What do you know? I got 4 paintings.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. It, you know, and that's the cool. I like the whole thing, you know, and mostly think about it. Everybody you've met through this tiki thing, most really cool. Good trades, too, you know?
Indeed.
It's awesome.
It is awesome.
I don't know. I mean, I paint a lot, you know. I also paint stuff I don't even put out. I don't take pictures of it or nothing, you know. I just painted, like, a few months back, I was just painting a bunch of my favorite rock and rollers.
When you first started...
Just for fun, you know?
When you first started... Did you find it hard to let go of your work?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you like want to just keep everything or what?
Yeah. I'm a hoarder. Yeah. Look at all this junk. This is my house.
So like, what was the transition? Was like, oh, I just need to start, you know, selling this or getting rid of it, you know, trading or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
my lady told me I had to sell it.
Yeah.
She said, hey, sell this stuff. I said, why?
She's like, you know,
you're running on just stacks of shit, and now, you know, and, you know.
Other people can enjoy it.
Too. Yeah, you know, at first I was like, I want to paint velvets because I also want to paint velvets that I like. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I couldn't,
right.
I didn't go out and see a bunch of tiki velvets. I wanted my own tiki velvets, you know, that kind of business. And then I was like, man, I don't want all my stuff. You know? Yeah. I want other people's stuff. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird, you know. I did it for myself first, and I'm like, eh, fuck yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. Oof, Jesus Lord, but
it works as a currency.
Yeah, you know, and I like it that way. You know, anybody wants to trade, I'll trade. It's true.
So the black velvet thing, man, you taught yourself?
Yeah.
I hear that's kind of like a, you know, a secret.
Like I don't know. They have black velvet classes now. Velveteria. Yeah, I see a couple of dudes. I can't remember their name. I know I saw pictures of like Big Toe went to one and somebody else. I can't remember who it was. But anyways, they were down there at Velveteria doing it. But I know like you can't find anything about it really. There's right. No like tutorial. And you know, you keep doing it, still stink. You know, you just keep trying and trying and trying.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that about your black velvets, on any level.
Eh. But you know, you see some, like I got my buddy gave me a portrait of this couple that he found at a swap meet, and he gave it to me, and I was like, "This is fucking amazing," mm-hmm. And I was gonna paint over it. I was gonna make him into like Maori people and put the tattoos on their yeah. face. Was that the first thing came to my head? Because this looks like some like, you know, like. Like 80s square thing where the picture of your family and the brandy snifter with the stars behind you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, whew, man, I'm going to paint right over that. And the more I stared at it, I'm like, I can't do that. I don't know who this couple is, but this thing is fucking beautiful. It's, mm-hmm. It is probably the best velvet painting I've ever seen in my entire life. The best. Trust me, there is, I've seen the vintage ones. I've been around. This thing is incredible. I can't do that yet. This time.
I like that word, yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get there. That yeah. thing just blows me. I have it up in, you know, in the office at the shop. I just stare at it and go, fucking people come in and go, oh, you do that? And I'm like, sad, no.
Just so, sign your name on the bottom.
Describe it to me. What is it?
It's a couple. It's a husband and wife. Uh-huh. All right, you know, the husband's back and the wife, they're smiling, mm-hmm. right, with teeth. I mean, teeth are glowing. And teeth are so hard to do without making it look like one of those, like, evil vampire dolls that want to eat you. You know yeah. what I mean? Okay. They always like, look at these teeth. That's some freaky shit right there, right? Mm-hmm. Sorry. But they're on velvet. But but you know, it looks like that. But the painting, the teeth look good. It's like the perfect amount of shading, the right lighting. It, you know what I mean? It doesn't look like a monster doll. They're fucking cool. This is cool as shit. I don't know, man. It's almost a... I have it set up as an inspiration. You know, it's really incredible. I can't fuck with it.
I remember I saw black velvet one time in a antique shop. I think it might have been in Carmine or something, like off of 105. From it was between like Conroe and Austin, and it was a 18 wheeler coming down the highway, and then behind it was Jesus. Like in the background.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, so I never really understood the whole black velvet thing, but like with the whole Lee tag and the
tiki. How long
the
ago was that?
It was, you know, a long time ago.
See, that's like, kind of cool. That's before it became cut.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, how long, what do you think?
I'm thinking 90s, you know, 92, something
either
like that.
Either somebody was real serious or somebody had a great sense of humor. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when we had the Lee tag stuff, that's another one, though. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at that stuff really is bananas. You know, I don't know what he's doing.
So the first time you did one, do you remember?
Oh yeah, I did a Moai.
Yeah. So what?
Yeah.
What
was it? Simple. I mean, I shouldn't say simple, but it's an easy thing for me to draw. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? Oh yeah.
Was it a disaster or what?
Yeah, it was mediocre. I was super excited. I come home, show my little lady, like, ooh, like put it on the refrigerator. Look what I did. Look what I did. You know? Mm-hmm. And she's like, that's great. Look, that's amazing. And I was like, yay. Then I looked at it again. I'm like, eh. You know? It's one of those things, like, you know, you wake up in the morning, you know, you ever do something, like you carve something, you go, fuck, this is, man, I did it, right? Yeah. And the next day you look at it, you go, eh, it's not so good.
Happened last week.
Yeah. But you follow what I'm saying? Yeah,
I'm looking at some of myself like, it's kind of crooked. Don't like it. You know, it happens all the time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you got to keep going, though. Got to keep going.
Got to keep on trucking.
Indeed.
It's true with Jesus in the background.
All right.
So Aloha Texas Tiki Company, where did that come from?
All right, so when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, I started playing bass when I was 16, and, you know, I was way into music, so I wanted something I could do music with, and I didn't really know what to do. I was good at teaching, or I was good at Spanish. So I said, man, I can teach Spanish. I go tour in the summers. So anyway, I became a teacher in like 99. And I taught for 15 years or so. And then when I married Michelle, we had our second baby, and I met her teaching, and she was kind of climbing the ladder in education. So she had like taught for 5 years, and she was like going up into curriculum and administration. And we just had the baby, and she said, man, I don't want to put him in daycare. And said, okay. And she said, I think one of us should stay home. I said, raised my hand, I'll stay home. I've been teaching for 15 years, and I would love to stay home and hang out with my my son. And so I was staying home. I was thinking, what could I do to earn a little extra dough? And I said, man, I haven't carved tiki in like 8 years, seriously. So maybe I could start carving again. So I said, I want to go balls out and just try to really make a go at it. And so, I tried to think of a name and everything. It's like, you know, people in Texas don't really get tiki. So, you know, I try to keep the name super generic and simple. So, I just went for it, you know, and started carving as much as I could, and learned a lot, you know. Learned that I don't want to carve designs that people come up with and tell me, like, can you do this with my name on it and make it look like J.J. Watt on the back and or whatever. It's like, man, I did a couple of those things. I was miserable. So I kind of...
Did you give it a broken leg?
Yeah. I got to a point where I did my own designs and then tried to sell them after the fact. So, you know, that's kind of how that was the genesis of the company or whatever. And now I carve when I can. And, I love it. It satisfies my soul. I love carving, man. It's just, it's something I never thought I would do. And I've completely destroyed my backyard. It's got, you know, logs and sawdust and chips and just, you know, thank goodness that Michelle is so supportive and understanding. But that's basically how it started. And I just love it, man. I love the whole vibe. And so I'm still trying to hone my chops, you know, get better and better. And I've learned so much, you know. There's so much things you learn as you start something and continue on down the road and look at people that do it better than you. And with, you know, with carving tiki, you know, there's certain styles that are accepted in the scene, you know, like there's an adherence to a tradition that is more well respected than not. And it took me a while to learn that. So I don't know. That's basically, I guess, the answer to your question. I don't know.
Well, I thought it would start with carving, so I guess let's back up even further then. So how'd you get into carving, or what prompted that?
Yeah, going to Tiki Oasis and just seeing the carvers out there, and, you know, I was watching Crazy Al, you know, carve on stage, and And I say that in air quotes because it's more of a show than an actual carving exhibition. Yeah. But, you know, you look at his tiki by the pool and you say, man, that's cool, you know. And then you just see all the other carvers. I met Bamboo Ben there and, you know, and Tiki Tony. And just seeing, you know, the image of a tiki just really struck me, like, deep. And the whole scene and the whole, like, the exotica, the whole thing just, like, man, that is what I'm, you know, supposed to do. So that's kind of where it all started, you know, Tiki Oasis. I just coming back from that, I said, man, I want to give it a shot. So I pulled out a piece of wood and I started, you know, chiseling, you know, with a hammer and chisel. Man, it was so hard, you know. So like I was doing oak, you know. I didn't know how hard oak was. I didn't know what I was doing. And the first piece I did, I was so excited when I was done, you know. And it looked really rudimentary and primitive, and you can still see that piece in Sig's Lagoon if you go in there. And,
I love Sig's Lagoon.
Yeah, he still got it in there, so
I'll have to keep an eye out for it.
Then I discovered electricity and a chainsaw and angle grinders. Oh, that's much better. So, you know, I did 10 or so carvings back in the day, and the dude down the street, he was a wood carver, and, you know, he started carving them with me. And then my life took a turn. I didn't carve for a long time, and then I picked it back up again around, I don't know, 2012 or so, and here I am. Still trying to learn, you know. It's fun to watch all the guys, you know, on the West Coast. You know, Danny and Bosco, man. Bosco, Danny, Crazy Al, Tiki Tony, all those guys. And then the guys in Florida, Jeff and Will. And, you know, I'm forgetting a whole bunch of them, you know. There's people up on the Pacific Northwest, Chris. Tons of guys, man. Just love watching all their output and learning from those guys. But I love it, man. If I could do it, you know, 8 hours a day, that's what I'd be doing. But maybe someday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So do you have a specific style, or how would you describe an Aloha Texas Tiki?
I would say, like, currently I don't know, man. Maybe ask him.
Jason, how would you describe Jay's work?
Great. You know, you do that? I don't know. Can you look great to you? No, I have no idea. You know what I mean? I feel like you just do what you do. Especially now, I've watched you grow. I feel like I've watched you grow more. You know, you're taking definitely the traditional, you know, aspects. And I think you go, some of your stuff's a little more like modern, you know, not you know, like mid-century modern style, you know. Yeah. I think I have told you before, I feel like some of your stuff can be tiki bar, or you put in somebody's living room with the mid-century style. I think it would fit both of them. You know, it's not, you know, I think so. I don't know what to say. You're stylish, yeah. You know. I don't know.
Yeah, I try to respect the traditional styles. You know, the Marquesan styles and. You know, the Moai, the Easter Island, the Rapa Nui. I try to do each of those styles. You know, the Ku, the Hawaiian style. I've tried my hand at most of that stuff, and I try to get as close as I can and be respectful of tradition. But I also, you know, I like to do my own thing. So, you know, sometimes you just try to draw a design and see where it takes you, you know, and see, and you can tell if it fits in the whole genre or not. And, you know, some are misses and some are hits, you know, and I just love doing it. So I don't know what to say. It's like, I guess the Papua New Guinea style is like the most challenging for me.
Super cool.
It's so hard, you know, just to, to make something that looks so primitive and, you know, authentic is just, I don't know, it's really a challenge for me.
I don't know. What would you call those ones you did? Was it last summer when you did the party? Those ones that are bent.
Oh yeah, yeah,
those,
yeah.
Those things were so cool, man. I love those. They're really top notch.
Yeah, I found a piece of wood that was kind of bent like that, and I said, man, what, you know, you look at it for a while and kind of let the universe tell you what you should do with it. And sometimes you just got to look at it for a long time and just kind of let it come to you, you know. I know I still have a lot to learn. I pretty much still suck, but you know, when you look at other artists, it's like, you know, like Bill Collins and Crazy Al, those guys, just a whole nother league, you know. Gallardo.
I love Danny's stuff.
Yeah.
Sure. His mugs are the fucking coolest.
I know, dude.
I just got that Cactus Bob, which love.
Yeah, that's great.
Was that his?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw
that's
that.
That's such a rad mug. That's like my new favorite.
What's that for?
It's for this bar in Arizona called Counterintuitive, which is not a tiki bar. So, I
don't. Really?
Yeah. Somebody was saying that I guess it's a sister bar to a tiki bar that is out in Arizona, but there's no markings on it for anything other than Tiki Diablo on the bottom. So it's not like it's their signature mug or anything. That I guess they just commissioned a couple Swaros. Swaro Bob.
Yeah. But it's very cool, though.
Yeah, I love that mug. All this stuff's cool. They're going to be doing the new Tiki Tony mug, the Jungle Cruise mug.
Yeah. Man. Did you get in on that?
No. Yeah, I want to bad. You know, because we got that Disney, you know, and of course it's another drinking vessel that I need.
Yep.
And it's so funny because I was sitting, you know, I was thinking the other day going, man, I'm going to paint me a Jungle Cruise thing. And I looked on the thing, I'm like, oh, this guy's doing, you know, I'm like, fuck, you know what? And
there he is.
God damn, I need one of those, though. I need a mug, you know? I do, but I'm running out of room.
I got an idea for that. Well, I'll tell you later.
Dude, off the air. Tiki Tony, man. You got to love that guy.
He does some cool stuff, man. He does some really awesome stuff. Just did that Halloween box, which I really, really wanted to get in on, but I didn't. They sold out within minutes, apparently. Sure. He only did 100 of them. So.
I got the submarine mug.
What I like about that guy the most, beyond his amazing art, is just he's always positive, dude. He's got such a positive vibe, dude. You know, it's like...
You're just a happy guy.
True.
You got to love it, man. Yeah. We need more people like that, you know?
Well, I'm due for another drink, so...
Let's do this.
Take a break.
And, let's do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cocktail time.
Yep.
This episode is sponsored by Bamboo on the Bayou. Bamboo on the Bayou is a week-long tiki crawl in Houston, Texas, the week of November 5th through the 10th. This week of tiki is capped off with a tiki event at Mid-Main in Houston on November 11th. Bamboo on the Bayou will feature vendors such as sponsors of the podcast Rat Rods and Pinups and Aloha Texas Tiki Company, along with the Boozy Doodler, Big T Carves, and more. There will also be live music provided by King Pelican, the Will Van Horn Trio, and my band, the Phantomatics. We'll even be recording an episode of Marooned out there, so be sure to stop by and say aloha November 11th at Bamboo on the Bayou in Houston, Texas.
That's some good drinking right there.
Yeah. Back from our break.
Yeah. That extended break. Yeah.
Man, so. Pee so bad.
That zombie, though.
Yeah. That's good stuff, man.
That's what I call my penis.
Good stuff, though?
Yeah, I call it good stuff. Or a zombie.
I was going to say it's zombie.
The walking dead.
Mm. If you blow my thumb, it works better.
So what do we have in store for Bamboo? What can we expect for those who have not attended or did not attend last year? What does number two have in store for us?
Well, last year we were in a different spot, very close to where we're going to be this year, but we're going to block off the street between Continental Club and Sig's Lagoon. Going to build cool. a stage. We're going to... unofficially open at 5 o'clock. So if you get there at 5, you can come and do your picking at all of the vendors. I forgot to mention William Bubba Flint from Dallas will be there.
I like that guy.
Yeah, he's pretty he's sweet.
He's a fucking cool motherfucker, man.
You met him, right?
Yeah.
You met him up in Dallas, right?
I like him.
Yeah, tell me about him.
I don't know, man. He's got some cool shit, you know. I don't know what to tell you about, but I like him. I like his art.
I've been checking out his editorial cartoons. They're hilarious.
Oh, yeah. He's a total cartoonist, right?
Yeah.
Like a full-time cartoonist?
Yep.
Yeah.
So
I like Clint. He's all right.
So, you know, Cookie Cowgirl will be there. Jason will be there. Big T will be there. We got Blue Rooster. So all the vendors will be set up at 5 and ready to go. 6 o'clock, we'll be taking a $5 cover to pay for expenses and whatnot, and all the bands. We've got a great list of bands. You guys. King Pelican, I'm super stoked about. We're gonna, you know, finish things up. We've got Will Van Horn. We haven't talked about Will Van Horn. Will Van Horn. He is this amazing lap steel player in Houston. Like,
really?
Yeah, he's country licks, like, on point. But since then, he's like explored Exotica, so he's got a little Exotica trio that he's got going on. Whitney Mower, who is she's a vocalist and she is a singer or songwriter, and she was from Houston originally, but she went out to LA. Anyway, she's flying back in to do a set with Will Van Horn, and it's gonna be amazing, and I'm super stoked to check that out.
Nice.
And you guys will be playing after that, and then Phantom Royals, and then King Pelican. So lots of good music is to be expected. Lots of great vending. We'll have some good food. And Robin will be in charge of the imbibage and the mixology. So we're going to have good drinks, good music, good art, good people. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the whole street?
Yeah, we're blocking off the street, Winburn Street, from Main to Travis. Not the entire block, but we're going to have a huge screen at the very end of our little section, and we're going to be playing some exotic tiki goodness back there. So it's going to be great, man. I'm super excited about it.
Awesome. Yeah, no, it's going to be a blast. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. It's been, I mean, we first started talking about this months ago, so I'm stoked that it's finally a few weeks away.
Rat Rods are going to be there.
Yeah.
Frank. Super excited about that. yeah, so it's going to be a great time.
Any ideas on what, are we going to be doing similar drinks as the last year? Are you going to be expanding the menu? I know last year was a few, I think it was like 3 or 4 types of drinks that they had out there. They were really good. Yeah, that Sig's Lagoon was terrific.
Very popular drink right there.
Great fucking drink, man.
Isn't that great, though?
It really is.
You know, the blue blended... Yeah.
And it looks good.
With the lagoon on the top. Drink. With the dark float on the top.
Yeah.
Yep. And, yeah, so that's very nice. So, I'm not sure what Robin has up her sleeve, she's science, man. Like, she is super science when it comes down to her drink. So and her garnish is like,
no, she is good.
Yeah,
she does not disappoint. So there's going to be great things. I just don't know what all the details are on the actual bash, as far as the drinks. But it's going to be fun.
So where can people find out more about the event?
Well, we've got the Facebook, we've got the Instagram, and bambooonthebayou.com. Should be pretty much close to being updated as we speak. So definitely by the time this hits, we'll have all the I's dotted and T's crossed.
Did you ever notice Jay's voice is so deep?
So manly.
Man, yeah. Look at that guy. Hey, what a tough guy. It's incredible. It's like a Western.
Yeah. He's got that Sam Elliott vibe.
Very manly.
Oh my God, don't get deep on me. Don't break my stuff.
Don't go deeper for Jason.
My nuts.
I don't know. Maybe Jason likes it deeper.
I do.
I don't. I'm not sure if I feel comfortable with where this is going.
Hey, you're the one staying here, not me.
Strangers.
Taboozy lay.
Hey, they don't call it the taboozy lay for no reason. Get you a little boozy, then get you a little lay. And on that note, if they want to find out more about Aloha Texas Tiki Company, Jay, where can we find out about that?
Yeah, same spots. I don't have the official website, though, because I just don't care. You know, I'm just...
And can people reach out for commission?
He does care. He just hasn't done it yet.
We got the Instagram and the Facebook. Find me there. We should be good to go. Yeah, commissions. Just, you know, send me a message. We'll work it out.
Awesome. Jason, where can we find out more about the Boozy Doodler?
At the local bars.
Just check the local men's room. Yeah. I'm sure you'll find him in there.
Oh, yeah, they're written on the wall.
To the toilet. No,
yeah.
The Boozy Doodler, Instagram. And that's it. Hey.
And if you want to find out more about the podcast or keep up to date, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/maroonpodcast. You can follow me on Instagram at @DavidFantomatic. So thank you guys. Thanks, Jay, for coming down here to
talk
to
us about Bamboo. Thank you, man. Bravo on all of your podcast endeavors, man. You got to keep it going, man.
Appreciate it. That's
thank you for what you're doing for Texas, man.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Texas rising.
Texas rising, yeah. So keep an eye out for more of Bamboo on the Bayou coming up November. I know the event is November 11th. When does
The week before, we're going to kick off at Lalo that Sunday before, and Russell's got some great stuff planned. I think he's going to do a little seminar with Alice Berry. It's going to be on point. Yeah, they're going to do like from what I hear, they're going to do the history of Houston Tiki in 6 drinks. Man, it's going to be amazing.
I can't make it. God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's we're going
to
have...
I don't have to talk to them.
I want
that.
To.
That might be on Thursday. I don't know. I can't remember what day it is, but be on the lookout for that. And we're going to have the Texas Rising Night, meet the artists on Friday night at Howie's. And Monday through Friday, different drinks at many different bars in Houston. We're going to be featuring a drink every night. So it's going to be great. It's going to be... can't wait.
Yeah. So November 11th, come get your fix of Texas Tiki.
Yep.
And Texas Surf, Texas Tiki artwork. And until then, go Limbaloo, y'all.